WPVM-LP in Asheville, North Carolina. 103.7 on the dial, heard globally on WPVMFM.org and on Alexa. Just tell Alexa to play WPVM Radio.
Listen, as the sound enters my inner ear and vibrates through my inner plane, my biosphere.
Part of me learning to be a better listener of others is learning to listen to myself.
When we are listened to, truly listened to, you know, you can feel when someone's deeply listening and we feel heard. We are healed in that moment.
Listen and be heard. Even if your voice shakes without knowing it, you may be saving a stranger.
Listen and be heard is, I guess, part of why I wanted to connect with you, because as soon as you said that, it like stuck a chord in my soul.
Welcome to the Audio Garden, where we cultivate our collective wisdom, nurture creativity, and spread love. My name is Martha Senator, and this is Listen and Be Heard. Welcome back to the Audio Garden, my friends. It's so good to be here with you once again. And I'm so excited to welcome Mikey Cullen to the Audio Garden all the way from Dublin, Ireland. We're going to talk about his poetry, the hip-hop scene that he's involved in, and the oral traditions of Ireland. And we're also going to start celebrating John Coltrane's 100th birthday with Ernan's take on Dear Lord. We're going to start with a poem from Mikey that he calls Home.
So restricted, refined, and stifling is this cage that I call my home. The bars are repetitive, symmetrical, concrete, gray, semi-detached. As far as the eye can see, is carbon copied a state after a state, yet another row of a state and a company in shops, vended by and decayed off all the so-called needs of the local populace they comprised of, a pub, a bookies, a Chinese, a chip bar, a newsagent, and any beautician facility or barbers, take your pick. Concrete rows, connecting identical roads of houses with carefully constructed green arrangements. All life was restricted to these areas. There's houses full of people, yet not all are known. We've thousands of neighbours, yet few are friends to phone. We live so close together, yet so far removed. Even the birds above us are not free. Their lives too are restricted to the DIY shop bird feeders that they flock to each day. Same time, same routine, same black cat appears too. Just waiting to pounce on a hapless, helpless bird. The cat hasn't caught them yet, but she will not give them forever. However, the birds still flock and feathered furry to get their bread and make their living, all the while knowing that a cat's prowling in hope of fatal weakness. There's a cat waiting for us all. We're ostensibly civilized, but in this world the spirit dies and we're eaten up with trivialities and vapid, vacuous superficialities. The grey colours one skin after too long attacks one spirit. Grey skies, grey earth, uninspired minds. I can no longer hear my soul's song. I sometimes look up at the night sky and I gaze and wonder and awe. All the lands I haven't seen or saw and all that was possible if I could saw. But I'm tethered to this place that has forgotten me. But a longing that I feel deep in my heart. And so I look up to the sky and dream. At least then I'll have made a start. I wish for peaceful, obsequious seas and warm summer evenings before in July. Finally, my vision was coloured with ease to Elysian lands that I could fly. But I am a bird who's never been. Exotic lands I've never seen. Of fields of gold fume far between. And of turning over, I can only dream. But still, I fly to the feeder, pluckily plodding along. Knowing my fate may call me home, no more this land, my dreams may roam. But still, I fly to the feeder and not sure what for or why. But still, each day, each time, I fly. So when the time comes and I do spread my wings, all the corners of this vast earth for me to roam, and I'll meet myself where it all begins. Just now my destination is home.
I I'm so happy to welcome Mikey Cullen from Dublin, Ireland to the Audio Garden today. How are you in that pouring rain there, Mikey?
I'm good, Martha. I'm not too bad at all. Yeah, thank you for having me.
I'm so glad to have you. I heard you first during the World Poetry Project that was hosted by Shamya Chaudhary in Delhi, India, which was a real pleasure to participate in. How is the poetry scene there in Dublin, Ireland? I have the impression that you're very focused on performance poetry. Is that a vibrant scene there in Dublin?
Yeah, very much so. The performance poetry, spoken word poetry is really having a moment in Ireland and is making its way from the fringes and kind of from the back rooms into the mainstream in different ways. And there's a lot of exposure and publicity coming, which is brilliant. But equally, there is a written scene, a page poetry scene. I suppose it's maybe something to do with the times we're living in, that spoken word might be more digestible, and I suppose the immediacy, it probably has its place in the 21st century in a way that maybe written poetry isn't able to cut into, if that makes sense.
I think it does. You're also involved in hip hop, and I think there's a connection there to what you're saying.
Yeah, very much so. And I think in terms of like Ireland as well, it's interesting because the spoken word, the kind of genesis of it as an art form, belongs to a lot of different peoples. Like you have the griots in West Africa, and then obviously like you have the Gil Scott-Heron era in the United States that led to, I suppose, the genre of hip hop. But Ireland equally was an oral society for centuries because of the penal laws. The British didn't allow Irish people to be educated and also made us speak English, obviously. So because of that, then many Irish people couldn't read or write for generations. So everything was passed, information, history, culture was passed down orally from grandmother to mother to child. And the part of that oral tradition was poetry, was the speaking of poetry as a means of conveying history or information or a joke even through generations, and has kept a lot of mythology and a lot of our who we are as a peoples and our history intact. So spoken word is especially the oral tradition is very much an Irish thing, and we have these people called Shanachies who were like storytellers and bards who travel around from village to village back in the day and regale people with songs and stories and poems. And I think that's a huge thing in this country. So it's not as surprising as it first seems when you hear that spoken word is kind of doing really well in Ireland.
Very interesting. So that's really very fertile ground for spoken word. And how did you as an individual decide that this was something that you wanted or maybe needed to do?
I don't know. It's probably the best answer. I can obviously point to different things that inspired me along the way, but there was never a moment that I kind of sat down and said, oh, I'm going to write in this style or this is what I want to do. And there wasn't even really a moment of seeing someone else doing it and being kind of blown away by it. A lot of it was just my natural way of writing was kind of rappy poetry, kind of a fusion of the two, you know. And since I was a kid and as a teenager, I'd be writing lyrics and limericks and rap lyrics, etc. So what kind of happened to me was in my early 20s, I came back to creativity that I had neglected it throughout my teens because I was playing a lot of sport and that was my priority. But in my early 20s, I was going through stuff, kind of like a little quarter life crisis at the time, probably, and drinking a lot to cope with what I was going through, which obviously wasn't a healthy remedy. So I kind of came back into creativity as a way of coping with myself and with what was happening and as a way of understanding what was happening. Yeah, there's a way to understand myself, I guess. And what I found was when I'd go to write, even if I went to journal, I would just kind of naturally start writing like little poems instead. So that was kind of where the origin of how I started. But for a few years, I wouldn't show anyone at all. It was very much a personal thing and just a means of, a cathartic kind of means of expression for me.
So what has it meant to you then to be presenting yourself? Because now you really are doing it on radio. You're putting out a hip hop record. You're published. You're going around performing places. So what was the leap that you took to do that?
It was kind of a fortunate culmination of a few different things. Like I went in that period that I was talking about when I came back to writing, I had started acting because a friend of mine in college was into filmmaking and he just asked me to stand in to a few of the films he was making. And I was like, oh, this is actually cool crack, you know? So I went and done a drama course then. And that was kind of what gave me more confidence and helped me reacquaint myself with creativity and expressing myself and being vulnerable enough to do so. But as I said, I still wouldn't really show people the poetry side of things. But then what happened was that in 2023, a friend of mine got involved with this Irish storytelling night called Shanachie, where just random people go up and tell a story based on the theme of the night. So it could be love, it could be hope, it could be friendship, loss, whatever it is. And people apply and they tell a story. So a friend of mine was the cameraman for this event, and they usually finished with a poem at the time, was the tradition. So my mate went up to the founder and the runner of this event, Kieran Gaffney, and said, "Oh, my mate Mikey writes poetry and you should get him to do this or whatever." So Gaff asked me, would I perform a poem at it? And I think only for the fact he asked me, I don't think I would have volunteered myself to do it, if that makes sense. But him asking me kind of gave me a bit more confidence. And in the meantime, I had begun a career as a school teacher and I was a tour guide as well. So I kind of got used to performing in front of people too. So I'd done that Shanachie night and performed one of my poems at it. And yeah, learned it off by heart and performed it. And it went well on the night. And then they put a video of it up online and that went viral then. And that was 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, coming up on 3 years ago, actually. And since then, it's just been one thing after another. And I haven't really had a plan necessarily. I've just been following the path as it emerges. But I've been very fortunate. I've gotten some really cool opportunities and it's taken me to some mad places. But yeah, very fortunate.
So you've truly just been following your muse, and not every poet goes viral the first time that they perform. So that's a great story.
I've released a number of, hip hop records of my own. Just working with DJs and producers in Dublin and just crafting records, crafting beats with them, which has been a great experience. There's a nuance to doing it to a beat that there isn't with spoken words, but it is more curtailed and there's more emphasis on the rhythm and the cadence and structure, which took a bit of getting used to as well. Like they do complement each other and then they do diverge and differ in a similar way. But yeah, this year I've been more focused on the poetry actually and doing some bigger projects behind the scenes. But what I've done with music is I've appeared and I've featured on a few other artist records this year. So I was involved in a really cool project with two very talented up and coming Dublin rappers, Mix Art and Flynn Johnston. And Mix Art is a rapper from West Dublin. And he's after making a project on life in Dublin and taking in things like homelessness and drug addiction and stuff and a lot of the social issues that plague the city. So it was really cool to be on a project with the two lads talking about our city, where we're from. The same as that, I was on another kind of experimental, almost techno, kind of mystical fused project with a producer from Limerick called Chaz Maloney as well. And it's already at the beginning of this year, myself and a band from Belfast in the north of Ireland called the Shan Vans, which means the old women. We got together and done a solidarity track to raise money for the people in Gaza undergoing the genocide. And we released at the start of the year. And that was a really nice project to be involved in because of what it was for. And the way we went about it was we fused the Irish experience of colonization and of oppression and genocide, and it matched it with the history of Palestine as well. And there is a lot of, I don't know what your listeners be aware maybe, but there's a lot of similarities and parallels between the two countries. So that was released this year, and that got a very big response as well, which was nice to be involved in. So yeah, the music is just another avenue of exploration, isn't it? And as you said, following the muse, I like that way that you put it. When things come up, when opportunities present themselves, if I can add something to it, I usually say yes to it, you know?
I'd find it interesting that you do differentiate the different traditions, but you're participating in them all. And you're referring to these social issues. And it seems to me that you're continuing this tradition of oral history in Ireland.
I'm Tony Robles, co-host of Listen and Be Heard. This is Listen and Be Heard Radio.
Once it's heard, it can't be unheard. Once it's published, it's not going to be unpublished. Once you read the poem, you can't unread it. No matter how an individual may try to push it to the side, forget about it, it's still in there. And it's the words, the meaning, the feelings behind it are taking root in their psyche, and they can't get rid of it.
I try and follow what's happening in the US as much as I can. Well, it's I don't have to go out of my way, to be fair. I think we know what's happening. My granny has a good saying. I think when America sneezes, the whole world gets a cold. I don't know, did she come up with it? But it's apt. I think a lot of the problems that you guys are facing, we're facing in smaller ways. I think I don't know, Ireland, Dublin especially, is a weird place at the minute. A fascinating place, but a weird place. A lot of the world's problems seem to be kind of playing out in a myopic way on the streets of Dublin, because in one way, there's this old kind of Irish tradition to do based on like our kind of pre-colonized culture and mentality, and there is a resurgence in the Irish language at the minute and in kind of activism towards decolonization and stuff like that. But then there's also an emergence at the moment in Dublin especially of a far right who would very much be supporters of and taking a leaf out of Trump's book and his politics and in line with Brexit in the UK as well. Not that it hasn't happened before, but it's a relatively new phenomenon to occur in Ireland. We haven't really had a right wing, so to speak, in our history. We haven't really had fascism. There was a brief kind of episode in the 1930s, but it was stamped out very quickly by the IRA in particular, actually. There's a huge housing crisis in Dublin and in Ireland at the moment. There's a homeless crisis. I think there's 20,000 people homeless in this country, which is a huge number for a country of 5 million. I think Dublin is one of the most expensive cities in Europe. Like, it's in line with London, in line with Paris, but yet wouldn't have the same amenities at all. So there's a huge cost of living crisis and people are really struggling. And I think what they're doing, instead of pointing the finger at the politicians or at the corporations who are set up here, like, again, Ireland is one of the richest countries in the world, but a lot of that is because Google and Facebook and Meta and all of these big joint corporations are set up in Dublin because they avail of our low tax rates that we offer them. There's a lot of money and wealth in the country, but it's not being spread around, particularly like the United States, I guess. And people then are blaming immigrants for their lack, instead of pointing the finger at, I suppose, the economic powers who have caused the disparity and the privation in the first place. So, yeah, like what's happening in America, there's a lot of division at the moment.
How would you like people to find out more about you?
Instagram is kind of my hub of activity. I have a YouTube, but I'm not as good at posting on that. And I have a TikTok, but I think TikTok's a very toxic place. So I prefer Instagram. It's more controllable. So my Instagram is Mikey2_Cullen. So MikeyCullen. Walking in, it's how's things? What's the crack? Any crack, gossip or scandal? What's the story? What is the story? Our story. The legends, myths, archetypes and tales, the ubiquity through generation and as old as the drawings on cave walls or stones. The details recounted amidst the heaving hustle and bustle and revelry. In alcoves and cosy snugs, standing on sticky floors or sat on tattered bespeckled chairs, well worn and imbued with character. by the characters who've enthroned them over the years. Different years, but the same styles, details, same stories. Story. It's friends, family catching up, making up, the communal crisp packet opened in the middle. It's in the listening. So those stories that seem to go on for ages and circle like the wet imprint of a pint bottom on the bar, and you're still none the wiser of what the fuck they're on about after they finish, to the old lad recounting tales of former heroics, to the trivial or benign awkward encounter shared with friends, to the laments of hard times, to those stories that seem to carefully spin like fibres and fabric to our very fibres and fabric of being. It's every, do you remember, and reminisce that induces pleasant reveries and memories. It's in the listening to the songs and poems that stir the blood and sits in our core, reaffirming who we are, our skin etched with goosebumps by the perennial chords of our land that serenade the soul, that ineffable feeling to the laughter and the crack that lift the heart and rise like cream to the ethers. Why do we tell stories? To pass the time, to entertain, to elicit advice, to navigate life, to understand each other and thus ourselves, to connect. We've always told stories. We always will. It's in the familiar. It's in the community. It's in the family. It's in the parish. It's in us. Life is easier when shared, Shine. That's it.
Yes, life is easier when shared. Thank you so much for that, Mikey Cullen, and for spending this time with me in the Audio Garden while it's pouring rain there in Dublin, Ireland.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure, Martha. Thank you for having me.
And now from our Listen and Be Heard interns.
My name is Javier Famania. I'm a fan of Bad Bunny, as are many people following the release of Debir Tirar Más Fotos, his most recent album, which was released in January 2025 and spent 4 weeks at the number one spot on the Billboard 200 following its release. Bad Bunny, or Benito Ocasio, is a Latin artist from Bayamón, Puerto Rico. The 31-year-old specializes in reggaeton and Latin pop and has collected 6 Grammy Awards, 17 Latin Grammy Awards, 16 Billboard Music Awards, and 54 Billboard Latin Music Awards across his entire career. Upon the release of the album, Ocasio did a world tour, visiting many major stadiums in South America, including places in Colombia, Peru, Argentina, and Brazil. He visited Australia, went over to Europe, found himself in Spain, Portugal, the UK, Poland, and Belgium, and he publicly made a big point not to have any shows in the United States as a protest to the current political climate of the United States and how they are handling immigration policies under Donald Trump's administration. During his Grammy acceptance speech, he quotes, "We're not savage, we're not animals, we're not aliens, we are humans, and we are Americans." Bad Bunny continued and said, "I know it's tough not to hate these days, and I was thinking, sometimes we get contaminated. The hate gets more powerful with more hate," finishing his speech by saying, "So please, we need to be different. If we fight, we have to do it with love. We love our people, we love our family, and that's the way to do it, with love. Please don't forget that." I feel like that should give you a decent insight into the beliefs and character of Benito Ocasio. Following his Grammy acceptance speech, it's been a busy couple weeks for Ocasio. After the Grammys, he went from LA to San Francisco to perform in the Super Bowl halftime show. This is one of the biggest events in the United States, having an average viewership of over 100 million people every single year. When it was announced that he would be performing, he received mass criticism from the right-wing media, saying it was unreasonable to have a show that people couldn't understand because of the language barrier. Even though prior to March 2025, the United States never had an official language, alongside the fact that Spanish is the second most spoken language in the United States by a large margin. His show was an amazing experience in representation of Latin culture and Puerto Rican culture. He sent the message that the United States is made from immigrants and that immigrants belong here. He shouted out every country in the region of the Americas, including Canada, all the Latin countries. He shouted out the Caribbean countries. It was a beautiful thing to see. And at the end of his show, he looked up at the giant jumbotron, and he displayed the message that the only thing more powerful than hate is love. Despite the criticism and the threats that he got on his life, Benito Ocasio got on the largest stage there is and sent a message. Even when he could have responded to all of the hate with a hateful response, he sent a message filled with love. And that is exactly what made this performance so special to, you know, all the Latin people at home and all the people that go through, you know, these similar criticisms almost every day. The album and that beautiful halftime show have brought out a sense of Puerto Rican pride within the people. Across social media platforms like TikTok and Instagram, you can find people dancing in the streets all over Puerto Rico and, you know, all over the world. This album, for many like myself, just, you know, it makes you feel proud to be Puerto Rican. You feel much closer to home. Beautiful album and the best of Bad Bunny and everything he stands for. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you to our Listen and Be Heard interns, Micah Franklin and Javier Famania. It is so great to be a part of their final semester of their senior year in high school, and we're so happy to have them both interning here on the Listen and Be Heard Hour podcast. Please let them know that you appreciate them too. Get in touch with us. Sign up for our email newsletter. Visit us at listenandbeheard.net. You are always welcome to listen and to be heard. Listen and Be Heard Network is a project of Sound System Culture, which is a not-for-profit that welcomes your donations in order to continue to make this kind of programming possible, which we offer for free to community radio stations around the country and at listenandbeheard.net, where you will also find our complete archives and a master reading list of pretty much every book we've ever featured or even mentioned on the Listen and Be Heard Hour, and even also on our newish sister show, now in its second year, called Beyond Borders, which is co-produced by myself and Judy Tologan on the West Coast. Coming up, new music that you will not be able to hear anywhere else, brought to you by my co-host and colleague, Aranan. So please, stick around. Listen to the sounds of the audio garden. And I'll see you on the other side of the bridge in a minute or two.
how's it going? This is Hernan Ramiro Rodriguez Sierra, formerly known as Jay Rodriguez. I keep on saying that so people know I'm feeling a little different. All right, now, want to thank Martha Senator and Listen and Be Heard Network, and want to thank Sound System Culture for supporting this great music and these great shows. Again, we're going to hear always cool new music, or music that you have not heard. It's new for me because I get to revisit some of these archives that I have, and I get to explore other people's archives as well. And there's just so much amazing music that has been made and never released throughout the years from so many artists all over New York City and the world. And this is no different. This is an amazing ensemble. I always have the honor of playing with really great artists here in New York, people who have been a part of my life as an artist and a human being, as a performer, and, you know, just a human being. This is a piece by the great John Coltrane called Dear Lord, and it's my arrangement and take on it. He's an amazing artist, so I said, let me try this. We did a version of Dear Lord Revisited with the vocalist and percussionist Hainardo Batista on congas and vocals, and Manuel Alejandro Caro on timbales and vocals. You can catch those guys at the Buena Vista Social Club Broadway shows. They've been doing this for quite a while. I'm really happy for them and all artists who are able to be working out there in the midst of the craziness and being able to put something so noble and beautiful and give back to our community through things like the support of Sound System Culture and the amazing work of Martha Senator and the Listen and Be Heard Hour for readers and writers, and being open-minded to combine it with music and sound and everything that we all hope for. We have to make our community stronger, empower all our brothers and sisters, young and old, and let's continue. And right after that, to close it off, it's an unreleased piece of mine with the Mother Flower Trio featuring Xavier Hill and Henry Hedia on keyboards. My favorite trio. Check it out. We'll be coming back right now. Interesting, challenging times for world peace. We hope peace arrives sooner than later. In the meantime, work with your communities. No matter where you are in the world, try to help the little old lady walk and cross the street with the groceries. Little old man, pick him up. The person who's not feeling well, give him a break, leave him alone. But sometimes people just need a hug, all right? Look out for each other, all right? Even the haters, people you think are haters, they're just very fearful. So anyway, enough of my ranting and raving. This is going to be Jay Rodriguez and a band that I've called Sofrito. That was Jay Rodriguez. Now I'm in Nan Ramiro. But anyway, this is live at the BAM Cafe many, many years ago, featuring the great Steve Sandberg on piano, the great Ricky Rodriguez on bass, Bill Ware, my compadre for many years on vibes, Hainardo Batista on congas and vocals, and Manuel Alejandro Caro on timbales and vocals, and myself on tenor saxophone and flute, and some vocals. All right, and this is my arrangement of the great John Coltrane's Dear Lord, in celebration, really. I did this a while ago, but this is definitely a celebration for his upcoming 100th birthday. I was hanging out with the great Robbie Coltrane and Matthew Garrison, my friends as well. And man, it would be great to do some of this. All right, enjoy. You only get to hear it here on the Listen and Be Heard Network. Peace out. is called For the Loved Ones. It's all based on Bach. Have the affinity. All right, enjoy, babes.
This is the Listen and Be Heard Hour, brought to you by Listen and Be Heard Network, a project of Sound System Culture.
I think the issue is capitalism. And I think, on the one hand, we're in the middle of such an intense backlash. Backlashes only happen when you're doing something kind of right, you know? Mm. So that's why we're seeing the backlash against women, against Black people, against... I think there's a backlash for sure after 2020. But where I think it specifically started to go wrong, or at least this is a part of it, is the girl bossness of it all. I think that it's very easy for white women to fall into this idea that if you're adjacent to power, that's better than not being near power at all. But what happens when you're adjacent to power in a system that is only meant for straight white men, if we're naming it, you can't participate in that and further the cause. So this whole sort of lionization of women CEOs, or even a woman president being important, over time I've come to find that those are actually pretty regressive ideas and not what we should be rallying around.
That was Sarah Sophie Flicker in conversation with Judy Tologan and myself on Beyond Borders, our sister podcast here on the Listen and Be Heard Network. And that's being featured currently if you go to our homepage at listenandbeheard.net. Coming up next week here in the Audio Garden, Tony Robles will be speaking with Kenneth Yu.
Was blending in. That's in the greatest fight of Sonny Granada and other stories. I remember writing that during the pandemic in both anger and sadness, because I was just so fed up with the stories of corruption that's enveloping the whole Philippines, right? And how the regular folk, the simple people, just couldn't find a way out of it, right? We couldn't find our solution. That's still a genre story, in my opinion. The way I categorized it in my head, it's young adult crime, young adult suspense, but mostly crime, because it deals so heavily with the corruption that we face every day. It talks about government contracts being substandard and people, the politicians, pocketing money, that they set themselves up as the authorities who are elite at the expense of the regular folk. Maybe blending in that story, fight all the conflict, tragedy, hardship that I wrote into it. I tried to find a way, no matter how small, to show that there are ways to find justice still. It may not have been through the conventional way that the criminals were caught, arrested, brought to trial, brought to jail, but rather through other means that they were shamed. Some semblance of justice was found. In my discussions with Filipino crime writer F.H. Batakan, who's a good friend, I speak about it. What sets crime stories, whether it's YA crime or adult crime, apart as a genre here in the Philippines versus the West? It's really that in the West, there is the presumption that the system will work, that the perpetrators will be caught, or at least will be investigated through proper forensics and proper detective work, and then brought to trial, judged by their peers, and given justice. In the Philippines, that does not happen. The story is that the justice won't come, but it has to be found through other means, if at all. So that was the discussion of the dialogue I had with F.H. Batakan. And I think that's what's reflected in Blending In. Having said that, I did get a lot of heartwarming and validating reviews from reviewers that they really liked it. Though, of course, they felt traumatized by it. Sorry about that. But I was as traumatized as they are, maybe more so because I wrote it.
Kenneth Yu will be visiting us next week in the Audio Garden, talking with my sometime co-host, Tony Robles. All us writers getting traumatized by our own writing, or writing about how to heal from trauma. A good antidote and a good way to take a break is to step outside and get your hands dirty. I've been doing a bit of that as the weather has changed a bit and I'm seeing buds on the trees and the plants, and I've got some bulbs pushing up that I'm not sure. I think they might be tulips, but it's my first spring here where I've moved in Harlem, New York. I have some seeds that I brought with me from South Carolina, some giant sunflower seeds and native sunflowers and amaranth, which is a native cereal grain that's really quite delicious and grows abundantly. And some corn. I brought some corn and some okra. And I've been looking forward to, you know, figuring out how much of that I might be able to plant and get something in my little patio. And I have a few little square feet out on the street side that I can plant into as well. So we'll see. We'll see how all that goes. But I was about to really go crazy with the seeds. And then I checked the weather report and realized I might be jumping the gun just a little bit because we still have some freezing nights ahead here in New York City. But I'm dreaming of 8 feet, 9 foot tall amaranth stalks growing out in the street and people walking by and stopping to wonder, what is that? And admire how beautiful the golden grains. And meanwhile, you can eat the baby leaves of the amaranth plant, just like you can eat spinach or arugula, and they're delicious. And the birds, that's another thing. I'm looking forward to the birds perching in these stalks of amaranth and giant sunflowers that I hope the whole neighborhood will enjoy. So we'll see how much of that fantasy becomes a reality over the next few months as this very bitter cold winter gives way to spring. And I hope that as that natural process happens and reminds us of the beauty of nature and what Mother Earth offers us every day, because we're still here, discouraged, and things seem bleak, which does happen. The garden is one of the places I like to come, even though the time does pass so quickly here. And my time with you here in the garden is coming to an end. I'd like to leave you with the wise words of another writer whose name is Laura Langnick. She's the author of Agricultural Resilience. And she joined me a few times live in the studios of WPVM Radio in Asheville, North Carolina. We recorded several hour-long specials on climate change and agricultural resilience, which I invite you to find in our archives at listenandbeheard.net.
Every pound of food that is wasted, even if you compost it, that pound of food goes back through the food system and takes 7 times the energy in that pound of food to produce that food that is in the food itself. That's an average. But the idea is that if you never waste that food, then that food eventually, the message will get back through the food system to not grow that food. And then you save 7, you have 7 times the impact than you would if you were to compost that food.
Thanks, as always, to Davian Dial at WPVM Radio in Asheville, North Carolina, for introducing Listen and Be Heard to the broadcast airwaves, KCEI in Taos, New Mexico, KEPJ in San Antonio, Texas, KHOI in Ames, Iowa, and KFOI in Red Bluff, California, and other stations that are part of the Pacifica Affiliate Network for cultivating the audio garden in your communities, and our own Listen and Be Heard Network, host of WLBH.org. Please visit us at listenandbeheard.net and sign up for our email newsletter and at our Listen and Be Heard YouTube channel, where you will find unedited video interviews of our featured guests. My name is Martha Senator, and I want to thank you for listening and giving me the opportunity to be heard.
All over town, in on every scene. Used to eat big old steaks, but now I'm down to fat back and pinto beans. Won't somebody tell me? I'd like to hear all about it if you think you know. Yeah, won't somebody tell me? Tell me, where did all our good times go?